Good morning once again, and thank you for tuning in today to Mornings for the Master, a program heard every weekday morning right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I am your host every Thursday on Mornings for the Master. And I am really thrilled that you join me today and hope you'll spend the next hour or so here together with me. Mornings for the Master has a different host and a different course of study each day of the week. And I hope you avail yourself to these opportunities of study. These programs are also replayed each evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and they are posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And so, today, as we continue our weekly Thursday study, we are going to be moving further into Paul's first letter to Timothy. Today, we'll be in chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16 today, and the thought of Paul's instructions to Timothy so that progress may be evident. And I think this should be a goal for each one of us, that our progress and growth spiritually would be visible, and that it would be evident, and there would be no doubts about that. So I don't think there's any of us that this would not be a benefit to. So let's give it our attention today. Now remember, whenever you're not able to catch our 9 a.m. broadcast, these programs each day are replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. So don't forget. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, as Paul writes to Timothy. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So in our text today, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, we find Paul instructing his son in the faith, Timothy, regarding some things that he needed to do. Things that were of an urgent matter, and he needed to be doing these until Paul was physically able to come to him. And so, he would write these things to him in order that Timothy could be about this business even before Paul would come. And if Timothy was to do these things, then this was certainly going to make Timothy's progress evident to all who were around him. And that is important to this young evangelist. It would help others to take him more seriously, to give more heed to the things he would say and do. But Paul also pointed out to him that in doing these things which Paul instructs him to do, he would save himself and also help to save those who would hear and respond to the words of Timothy. So these instructions now, in the direct sense, were related to Timothy's work as an evangelist of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not hard for us to see or understand that there are certainly plenty of applications for all of us as Christians to take from this passage for our benefit. Now, just as Timothy was to do these things as he awaited the arrival of Paul, these are things that we should be doing as we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do these things, will it not also make our progress evident to all? And by doing so, would it not help to save ourselves? And would not it be beneficial to those near us and around us? For if they are drawn to our words and behavior, then will it not, if we're walking and living in truth and love, would it not bring them in the direction of salvation also? So, without a doubt, these instructions of the Apostle Paul are quite worthy of our careful considerations this morning as Christians. And so, with that thought in mind, what is it then that we can learn from Paul's charge to Timothy in this passage? What is it that we can do so that our progress may be evident? Well, first off, this is something that we need to give our attention to. We need to give our attention to reading. Now, in Timothy's case, the reference here may have been more specifically to the public reading of the scripture. This was a custom in the synagogue in those early days, and it was a custom that would be continued in the first century church. Let's turn our attention to Luke chapter 4, and let's notice verses 16 through 20. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Now also, let's see this custom now also in the church. In Acts chapter 13, verse 15. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. In chapter 15, in verse 21 of the book of Acts, For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice verse 27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 4, and verse 16. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And then one more, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So certainly we see the importance of the public reading of the scripture. And that certainly may have been the case concerning Timothy and here in 1 Timothy. But it may also and would certainly be fitting to include the private reading of the scripture. The reading of the scripture for the benefit of one's personal growth. Recall Joshua chapter 1. In verse 8, This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, what about us today? Shouldn't we be giving special attention to the daily reading of the scripture for the promotion of our own spiritual growth? Consider the first psalm and notice verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Now, we might also read other books to encourage our walk with God. Think of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So even if we cannot definitively say that the private reading of the scripture was what Paul had in mind in speaking to Timothy, even if it was not, at the very least, we cannot argue the fact that reading God's word is an essential element to spiritual progress on the part of the Christian. Now, Paul, in addition to instructing Timothy that he needed to give attention to reading, he also desired and exhorted Timothy to give attention to exhortation. Now again, in Timothy's case, it is likely referring to public teaching or preaching, that in which way we exhort others. We think of Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But just as was in the case with reading, it may well include private exhortation as one encourages another individually. Think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. But now, what about the case of the Christian today? Are we to give attention to exhortation? Well, we certainly exhort one another by our assembling with the saints at the appointed times. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Also, as modern day Christians, we can exhort one another on a daily basis, and we should. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Think about it. When we exhort another person, the benefit is twofold. For it not only blesses that individual, but yourself as well. And so Paul desired for Timothy to give attention to reading and to give attention to exhortation. And Paul also pointed out that Timothy needed to give attention also to the doctrine. Now again, in Timothy's case, the reference here is in all likelihood to the teaching or instruction he would do as an evangelist. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." Paul gave this admonition or charge especially to Timothy, whom he had delegated much responsibility toward the brethren. And so there in chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul said, "These things command and teach." And so that was for Timothy. But again, what about you and I today living in this modern age? Now, we must be teachers today. We must teach in various ways. It may be in public, or it may be in private. It may well be an example, or it might be in word. There are various ways to teach. Through the airwave today is one way, as we are gathered here today, but the simple fact is, teaching is the responsibility of all Christians. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Oh, how many brethren find themselves in this position today, having spent years or even decades in the Lord's church, but yet are basically no further down the road than when they first began. The time has passed to when Many should be teachers, and yet they still have not given even enough effort to learn the first principles of God. How can one teach others if you're not willing to move from the milk to the meat? Now, we understand various individuals may be limited in where they may teach, but make no mistake, we are to be teachers. We see that women are limited or restricted in some ways, but they still must be teachers. We see a restriction in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. So the role of teaching for women would be that of other women and children. This is reiterated in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice these women are to be teachers of good things. Sometimes that's by word, sometimes that's by example. But through that, verse 4 there points out that they show the younger women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. And if you have ever taught a class or prepared a sermon or prepared to teach another individual, who can deny that when you teach, you will benefit greatly through the preparation that is required to do whatever teaching you're planning to do? So, Paul wanted Timothy to give attention to reading, attention also is to be given to exhortation and doctrine. And in addition to that, we find that Paul wanted Timothy to give attention to his gift. Now, in Timothy's case, the reference here would be likely to a gift that he had received through the laying on of one of the apostles' hands, likely Paul himself. In verse 14, he said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy." With the laying on of the hands of the eldership, Timothy had received a gift by the laying on of Paul's hands that required some reminding. Perhaps he had not been using this in the way that he needed to. In all likelihood, this was one of the miraculous gifts in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 6, Paul said, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, what about you and I? There are gifts that are given that are related to our function in the body of Christ. Now, we do not have the miraculous gifts of the first century, but we are still blessed in non-miraculous ways. What about Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3? "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every one who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." We need to understand the importance that we administer our gift in service to our brethren. If you're an encourager, be an encourager. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Peter wrote, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Certainly, as an individual exercises their gift, their progress will be quite evident to others. Without a doubt, Paul's instructions to Timothy can easily be applied to ourselves, and we will benefit. Now, let's look at Paul's remaining charges to Timothy. And if we were to summarize the remainder of this, we might say that Paul is telling Timothy to give his all, to give himself entirely. Now, he tells Timothy to meditate upon these things. He wants Timothy to dwell upon the things that have been commanded to him in this passage. Was Timothy reading that which would build him up? Are you reading those things that will build you up on a daily basis? And what about your relationship with your brethren? Do you exhort your brethren? Are you teaching your brethren in ways that will benefit them? Or are you being a stumbling block? What are you doing with your God-given abilities and opportunities? Are you utilizing them? Are you using them as you stroll through doors of opportunity? Or are you burying them like the one talent man? Perhaps, in fact, the parable of the talents will help you in meditating upon this thought. The parable of the talents. Join me in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Paul desired for Timothy to take heed to himself. And you and I must take heed to ourselves. My friends, do not neglect your own spiritual development. This is why you should be reading daily and studying the Word. Do not neglect your own brethren. This is why you should exhort them, and you cannot exhort them if you're not regular in your attendance at the assembly, at any opportunity the church meets. Do not neglect your own opportunities. You must be ready to teach others when opportunity arises. You must not neglect your own gift, those talents that you have, and you should develop them and utilize them. We can't allow ourselves to get so busy with the cares of the world, and even sometimes things having to do with the church, that we neglect ourselves in our own spiritual development and can find ourselves unprepared. Remember Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Timothy and you and I needed to take heed to ourselves. And we need to take heed to the doctrine. We must be true to the teachings of the Word of God and to live by them. We must grow to a point where we can avoid being misled by the false teachers, for they are out there and they are great in number. We must be sure that what we teach others is true. Our fellowship with God and our fellowship with our brethren are affected by our doctrinal faithfulness. Consider 2 John verses 9 and 10. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. And Paul wanted Timothy to continue in these various things in which he has exhorted him. He did not want Timothy to forget these things. These Christian duties require perseverance on our part. But remember, eternal life comes to those who patiently continue to do what is good. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 says eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. What benefit could Timothy expect by heeding these admonitions of Paul? He would save himself, and he would save those who heard him. Verse 16 in our text. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. If that is not a goal that is worthy of seeking, I would like to know what is. We can have the same benefits as Timothy by heeding these admonitions of Paul. It'll save ourselves and those who hear. That is a worthy goal. But are we giving attention to these things? Are we giving ourselves entirely to them? So if we desire to have progress that is evident to all, and in the process of doing that, save ourselves and others, then let's apply these admonitions as though it was written to you or I, and put our name in there instead of Timothy. It will do us great benefit. I want to thank you for joining me today. Lessons for us from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. My prayer is that your progress will be evident to all. Remember, our program will be replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time this evening. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in the next day or so. Stay tuned today for all of the programming here on TGRN. And be sure to tune in again tomorrow morning for Mornings for the Master at 9 a.m. Central. And your host will be Brother Chip Horton. Brother Chip always does a great job. I feel so blessed to be able to sit at his feet on a regular basis and to hear him break forth the bread of life. And you won't want to miss it either. So, until we meet again next week at this time, if the Lord wills, I hope that you have a great day, and may God bless you. This is Chris saying so long.